10,000 new jobs, we think. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Walmart says this morning that it's adding 10,000 jobs this year as part of some 60 new stores or expansions around the country. Good news, but the announcement comes on the tail of a year of job cuts and retooling at America's biggest private employer. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace is here live with more. Lewis, tell me about these 10,000 jobs. What kind of jobs are we talking about?
So these are mostly retail jobs and also some e-commerce internet jobs. Walmart says it's adding or expanding 59 locations. That's in a press release. That release also talks about a big expansion of its job training programs. But the very important context for this is that at this time last year, Walmart was announcing hundreds of closures of Walmart and Sam's stores and 10,000 jobs cut. Then later in the year, around September, the company announced around 7,000 cuts to back office jobs, accounting, in HR. The company says many of those 7,000 office workers were moved to other positions, but overall that's some losses.
So between these job gains, job losses, job reshuffling, what should we make of this announcement?
Well, specific to Walmart, as you mentioned, it is the largest employer, but it's also having to rearrange a lot to deal with internet sales and automation. I talked to Sardar Dermasholo at the University of Dayton. He says these new jobs are always just estimates.
They're going to hire people gradually as they expand their services. So if the markets in general, if the world economy takes a little bit of a slowing down, a little bit of a downturn, all of these plans are obviously going to be put on shelf.
And on another note, perhaps you've noticed that adding jobs is a big focus for this incoming administration. So it's possible companies are always thinking about those Trump tweets as well.
Indeed. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace, thanks. Eight rich men, six of them in the U.S., own as much wealth as half of the entire human race combined. This is according to a new report on income inequality released this week by Oxfam. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look at what's behind this inequality.
Oxfam has been doing an annual report on income inequality for several years, and each year it gets worse. Oxfam America Vice President Paul O'Brien says part of the problem is tax dodging by wealthy individuals and corporations across the globe, costing, for example, African countries at least $15 billion a year.
That's enough to put a school teacher into every classroom in Africa and to provide health care to 4 million women.
O'Brien says more women need to be given access to education. Stanford economist Nicholas Bloom says all workers need better technical training because technology is also widening the wealth gap.
You get driverless cars and robots that can do basic manual tasks. That's going to replace more and more jobs.
Bloom says world leaders realize they need to pay attention to inequality because it can lead to unrest and the types of protests that topple governments. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
President-elect Trump's inauguration is expected to draw the biggest mass protest of an elected president since Richard Nixon in 1973, when 60,000 demonstrators descended on Washington. One of those protests, the Women's March on Washington, was conceived on Facebook and pulled together in just a few short months, a feat that would have been impossible even a decade ago. As Marketplace's Adam Allington reports, innovations in social media and logistics are expanding possibilities for activists.
Women's March organizers are predicting as many as 200,000 attendees, people like Sarah Archambault from Providence, Rhode Island. Archambault says she first heard about the march on Facebook and was immediately on board.
I felt this kind of passion inside me that if something was going to happen and it was going to be big, I wanted to be in those numbers.
Archambault found a super cheap plane ticket for $100 round trip, which she quickly sent to her friends.
I kind of shot out a text to this network of women, and I would say in a matter of hours, that fare was gone, and like by the end of the day, you couldn't fly out.
The Women's March also stands out as perhaps the biggest rideshare to date, with some 50,000 protesters booking bus travel through an app called Rally.
We talk a lot about the sharing economy. Well, I always say buses were part of the sharing economy before there was ever a term.
Numan Akram is the CEO of Rally. Basically, it's like Uber for buses.
We don't own any buses, just like, the ride-sharing companies don't own any cars. What we do is help people get together.
getting together on this scale takes immense amounts of money, marketing, and digital expertise, the likes of which was previously only available to big companies, not first-time volunteers.
This is new to a lot of people.
CC Hall is on the support team organizing some 275 sister marches across all 50 states. One huge innovation she points to is Slack, an online chat platform that allows organizers to communicate in real time without having to plow through a bunch of emails.
In the past, it would be field people, and then there'd be the digital team, and they would be doing, you know, email blasts and things like that. Then there's this fringe group that would be doing like social media, Twitter. Now it's all combined. It has to be.
Hall says fundraising is also easier now, with Donate Now buttons that interface seamlessly with social media. For getting the word out, however, she says there's still no substitute for good old-fashioned PR. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.